Hello, hello. Today we are talking about an extremely important topic, and that is the world of live streaming. If you want to know the absolute best place to stream, or you're just interested in the live streaming world and the platforms that are dominating right now and will be dominating in 2022, that is what we are talking about today. I'm Devin Nash. I run a creative agency called Novo that represents brands and influencers across multiple new media platforms, and I love talking about what makes people tick, what attention goes where and why. Many of you come here for the latest in new media and marketing, and hopefully today we won't disappoint because we are diving into the live stream world. And helping us do that is this Stream Hatchet's Video Game Streaming Trends Report of 2021. So kind of just looking back on 2021, especially quarter four, and looking at where things are going. We're going to break this down. I'm going to give you some of the insights from the agency world, and we're going to start on that right now. So Stream Hatchet, by the way, just real quick, is like a phenomenal resource for finding out about live streaming. If you're a content creator or you're interested, or you're a brand that is interested in content creation or advertising, this is just like, you should sign up for this. Like Stream Hatchet is great. I work with those guys pretty closely to get a lot of good data to provide you for videos like this one. So I'll be adding on with some of that stuff. Okay, so video game streaming overall has been pretty crazy. Streaming overall has been pretty crazy because the pandemic put people inside. So people were watching more stuff, and people stopped watching TV, right? So they had to watch something else. So they watched a lot of YouTube. They watched a lot of live streaming. They watched a lot of Twitch. They watched a lot of all gaming platforms. And 2020, just as kind of like a primer, saw an unprecedented growth in live streaming, especially on Twitch, because that is kind of the market slash like household name for where to stream. So we saw crazy growth, like over 90% growth on Twitch in 2020. And that growth extended into 2021, especially in quarter one and quarter two when the pandemic was still pretty active everywhere. And then as those restrictions started to waver, the growth slowed, but users didn't stop watching necessarily, and the growth has slowed, but it hasn't slowed down. So live streaming is still really successful, and it's a great place to be. It's interesting too how live streaming is kind of evolving, where some platforms are moving towards like mobile games, some platforms are moving in different directions. So that's what like I really want to cover today. So as an overview, 2020, biggest year we're probably ever going to have for live streaming. Hopefully, if we don't get any more pandemics, that would be nice for a while. But for now, growth has slowed down, and in some places we're going to see has reversed, but overall is great. Okay, so what happened on Twitch and YouTube? Let's start with like some of the watch time and like overall macro stuff. And I want to caveat this real quick that if you are like an influencer or content creator, actually, if you're anybody watching this, because there's all kinds of people that watch these videos, it turns out, just people that are interested in marketing. You guys are cool. Like, you know, maybe not necessarily content creators, but just people that are interested in these topics. These are macro level statistics, right? So making individual decisions on where you might want to put your business or where you might want to put your content is a separate decision from like the macro. And a good point on that that I bring up sometimes is like, you may look at Twitch and you'll be like, oh, like this is absolutely the best place to stream. There's the most people on it, right? But then you find like once you get into the weeds on that, that that's probably not true because there are so many people there, yes, but the methodology for discovery there to actually get your content to people is really difficult compared to other platforms. So you don't like take these stats as gospel. I mean, the stats are right, but like don't take them as a gospel as like, okay, well, this is like where you should be and where you should put your business, right? That's a separate decision-making matrix that we're going to talk about a little bit later. So macro-wise, Twitch is dominating, right? They really, really, really dominated in 2020, but they're still dominating in 2022. And I think that will continue. They're up about 97% in quarter one. That was that stat I was telling you during the pandemic. And now they've kind of slowed their growth a bit, slowed their roll, right? Now, this is all relative to previous percentage growth. So 28% on top of 98% is still pretty impressive. Then you get to 22%. And now you see that quarter four growth is starting to slow down. And that's because restrictions are lifting, like I said before. But this is pretty impressive for Twitch as a platform. And I think the bigger story here is actually what's happening to YouTube. So if you are an avid watcher of these videos, I've been pretty pro YouTube gaming for quite a while, and I still am. But YouTube has been declining in terms of viewership. And then I think in quarter three and quarter four has kind of like drastically been lowered in viewership. And that's for a lot of reasons. I think YouTube took a turn in quarter two of 2021. They started focusing a lot on shorts content. So they were pushing, which worked, by the way. Like there's billions and billions of views on shorts content now. YouTube looked at TikTok and said, that's a serious competitor and we want to move into short form content because we want to own that space as well as, because we already own long form content, right? We already own people watching videos for long periods of time. So we want to own short form and we better get into YouTube Shorts. So YouTube, very much the success of things on YouTube very much depends on where the algorithm points you as a user, right? As a consumer. And the algorithm points you towards YouTube Shorts. That's what it does. In quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, it was pointing towards YouTube Shorts. So if it was pointing towards YouTube Shorts, that means it wasn't pointing towards live channels. So the result of that was a decline in YouTube gaming. But we've also seen some of the big leaders, particularly in quarter four of 2021, and I think that's why growth on YouTube gaming is going to stall. We've seen people like Ryan Fwiz, who was the sort of like spiritual leader of YouTube gaming within YouTube. He departed. That's, I think, has enormous for cryptocurrency, like Web3 stuff. He had that has pretty enormous implications on like the finding people in this space that can understand the live streaming world and understand how to grow things at a platform level is like extremely hard. I think that's why we still have Emmett Shear, the CEO of Twitch. Because just nobody can replace the guy. Someone should, but nobody can. Okay. It's hard to find people at an executive level who understand live streaming enough to really run a platform like that. And I think Ryan and Fwiz was one of the few people who could actually do that. By extension, a lot of his team, I think, left at the same time. And so YouTube is going to have a hard time replacing that talent at YouTube to make YouTube gaming a thing. And I actually kind of worry, like on the doomsday thing, that YouTube gaming might kind of enter a death spiral because of the combination of things. And unless they have kind of a visionary leader that sort of takes over that, and as of yet, it's been a couple months now and we haven't really seen that, I'm a little bit worried about the direction of YouTube gaming. It'll still be fine, but it will not compete with Twitch in the same way that it looked like it would compete with Twitch in 2021 quarter one, right? Where it just looked unbelievably strong. And it was almost certainly the place to be if you are a content creator. So let's talk about Facebook for a second. Facebook has been growing super consistently alongside Twitch and like by percentage almost grew as much as Twitch in quarter one, then maintained that growth and superseded by percentage on Twitch over the next three quarters. So that's important because that means that Facebook is driving people to their live streaming platforms, and Facebook gaming has undergone a lot of leadership changes. Previously, Stefan Ellis, who led that up, and before that, I believe it was Patrick Chapman, and then now there's somebody else there. I don't even know. But through that all, like through a lot of leadership changes and through a lot of changes to Facebook, now Meta, right? They have successfully run this platform. So driving people to Facebook gaming has been a consistent vision of Facebook, and I think will remain a consistent vision. And so we're going to talk about the implications of that a little bit later. But it's cool because it means that Facebook gaming doesn't suffer the YouTube problem, where YouTube is such a big platform that it's difficult to like section off gaming and say, okay, we're going to focus on the live aspect of this. Yet Facebook has done that. And that's why I think you see Zuckerberg like personally pointing to creator funds and making everything free for creators for, you know, the foreseeable future and everything, and like being very reasonable with their splits and stuff like that. So that's cool. So Facebook, I think, is still doing really, really well. One of the things to note about Twitch is that a lot of the growth, and nobody's talking about this. I haven't heard anybody talk about this, so I'm talking about it now. A lot of the growth on Twitch, I would actually say the majority of the growth on Twitch is actually coming from second language streamers, particularly from Latin America. So you look at the people that are dominating on Twitch. Sorry if this is kind of for ants here. And let's look at the people, right? You've got Greg F. I can never figure out how to pronounce. Why do you put an F right there? Why wasn't it Greg F instead of Gref Greg? Okay, anyway. He's dominating on Twitch. You got Ibai, right? Another foreign language streamer coming in. So like you're looking at a lot of these top broadcasters that these were previously North America slots exclusively, right? And to some extent European, are now coming in from Latin America. And that has different implications, right? Because usually the advertising categories for the CPMs, I should say, like the price that advertisements are worth in those countries are less because the spending power is slightly less. So the North America audience of Twitch, I think, is pretty solidified. I think Twitch is going to have a hard time growing new users in North America and in Europe. They'll do it, but I think it'll be a very small percentage compared to the growth they're going to have in other areas. And now this is not like abnormal. When a platform gets a little bit older, they typically start to expand to like second and third world countries, and that's where they see the majority of their user base. And the NA sort of like Europe kind of thing is sort of set. So that has like some kind of a lot of implications, but I think overall just kind of like is something to like pay attention to. Twitch is still doing just fine in terms of its growth. And I think it's like totally cool. So we're looking at like this is just more of like some of the gross stuff we don't really have to go over. But I do want to talk about IRL versus like non-gaming content versus gaming content. That's probably the most important thing to understand about Twitch, is that Twitch has solidified itself as like the gaming platform, right? So what that means is that Twitch has not solidified itself as the non-gaming platform. So it tried to do that when it branched out into IRL, like in real life streaming. That I remember a time on Twitch when like I actually, it's gonna sound really weird if you're a person that's watched me for the last 2 years, but I love dancing. I'm a competitive dancer, or I used to be, and so I used to dance on stream. And and I actually got a message from a partner representative at Twitch at one point that said, you got to stop dancing so much. You got to play video games, man. You got to play League of Legends, because we don't want like that much non-gaming content on Twitch. And it kind of shows how much of a divergence they've had from that opinion. That was like around like 2013 or so. Now Twitch like really wants to be that sort of like IRL non-gaming platform. But I don't think they're ever going to be. I think the trouble is that they've really sort of solidified themselves in this category of gaming, and it's real hard to break out of that for them. And I don't think they'll ever cross that chasm. So the third bullet point here on Stream Hatchet's slide says all non-gaming categories accounted for 12% of Twitch's total watch hours, and grew 64% since 2020. So that's sounds really good, right? But like, keep in mind, the growth of Twitch overall was insane in 2020, right? So 12% of Twitch's total watch hours as IRL, when they've been doing nothing but pushing that for the last like 3 years, is not that impressive. Compare that to platforms like Facebook or YouTube, and the big one, and the name drop I'm going to put in right now, which is TikTok Live, and they're dominating IRL. They're natively IRL, right? Twitch is, I think, going to be really, it's going to be really hard to cross that chasm for Twitch. I think they're not going to make it into like the mainstream non-gaming stuff. You're still going to see streams that are non-gaming streams from influencers with like 30,000, 50,000, 100,000 viewers, but they are sort of few and far between compared to platforms like TikTok Live and such, and like where those, and YouTube, actually, where those events live. So Twitch overall, I think, is kind of stuck as a gaming platform, and that has implications for content creators who are not interested in that. So I don't think you should start a finance channel on Twitch. I don't think you should start I don't think you should start an informative channel on Twitch, right? I think that Twitch is sort of a kind of solidified itself as a platform, and we know that now. Like, you know, the platform's been around for enough time that we can kind of make that that decision. So Twitch is the place to go for gaming stuff, with a couple of exceptions we'll talk about later. The best place to build a live gaming brand, I think. So YouTube, let's talk about YouTube. So YouTube's strength is events. YouTube has a crazy, crazy, crazy amount of viewership when it comes to events. And 6 out of the 10 most watched live streams ever in the year of 2021 were on YouTube. And I think that'll continue. So YouTube is usually able to, if you run a live stream and then you multi-stream to YouTube, which everybody should do, you will typically have higher viewership on YouTube than you will concurrently than you will on Twitch. And the reason for that is because there are more users, and because Twitch, YouTube is better at driving people to those users to those streams than Twitch is. So Twitch, your audience and your following is only like what people that have decided to follow you. YouTube will bring in like a lot of new users. You will never get new users on Twitch, because just the streaming world is too saturated, and the way that they do discovery is bad, even with the recommended system that they've tried to implement over the last 2 years. So YouTube is the place for events. Events-based people are probably best served on YouTube, despite the growth problems. And again, macro is different from micro, so you can still really build a successful brand on YouTube. So Twitch, I think right now, biggest live gaming platform, good place to host a live gaming channel. YouTube, right, I think is great for big events or events-based channels. Okay. So despite the lack of growth in YouTube, YouTube gaming is not going anywhere. YouTube Live is still a platform that's going to be supported, and you can build entire brands on it. So one of the concepts that I want you to kind of keep in mind if you're a content creator is where you live as a brand. This is a super, actually, you should think about this no matter what you're doing, but where you live as a brand. I think a lot about where my company lives as a brand and where I live as a brand, and living somewhere is the most important decision you can make, right? It's a very important decision in real life because it's very different if you live in like Dallas, Texas versus like New York versus like Syria, right? Sometimes people don't have a choice of where they live. That sucks. But if you do have a choice of where you live, that's a good thing, right? There's definitely better and worse places to be in the world, okay? I'm sure Syria is fine. I'm not saying that's a bad place. I just think that for me personally, right, Seattle's a little bit nicer. I like the rain. Okay. So anyway, I've never been to Syria. Maybe it's great. Okay. Don't want like a bunch of Syrians coming into my comments and be like, ah. Okay. I don't know. Okay. So point being, you got to choose the right place to live for you. Let's say it that way. Okay. So just because YouTube gaming is not growing as well as Twitch is, doesn't mean that might not be the right place for you. You might be an events-based broadcaster. You might be an esports-based broadcaster or something like that, and it might serve you better to be here. Let's talk about Facebook, though. Facebook gaming is super exciting, right? Because they have retained their growth, and they've retained their algorithmic growth, and they've actually grown a lot of streamers. I think they've grown more streamers than any other platform in the last 1 to 2 years. That's a big statement, right? What do I mean by grow streamers? I mean, taking someone from zero CCVs, right, concurrent viewers, to like, I don't know, like 100 to 500 to like 1,000. I think they do it better than Twitch. In fact, show me somebody on Twitch that has come up to like the 10,000, 20,000 viewer range in the last 2 to 3 years that has not used YouTube to do it. You can't do it. Can't do it. Nobody's grown organically on Twitch alone. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You cannot do it, okay? You have to post YouTube stuff. You have to diversify. You have to syndicate your content to be a successful brand on Twitch. Not so on Facebook gaming. Facebook gaming is also you get a Facebook page. So if I was a very tiny broadcaster starting for the very first time and I was a content creator, I'd actually probably start on Facebook right now, like as of the time of this video. Now keep in mind, like things change, right? As they did with like YouTube gaming, that like I think 6 months ago, my recommendation would have been to start on YouTube gaming, but that doesn't change my overall recommendation, which is always to diversify. Why not stream on all three? You can just use restream.io or some other thing, and you could just restream to all three at the same time, right? It makes no sense for a content creator to live on one platform now. I just don't understand people. The majority of people have this opinion where they like have to have their live stream has to live in one place, and they're so nervous to multi-stream. Absolutely, content syndication is the future, and people that the largest broadcasters, without exception, are taking advantage of it. Every single broadcaster on the leaderboards has extremely successful YouTube channels. You can look at the fastest growing broadcasters on Twitch, and you can see that Aaron Play at Ebi have unbelievably massive YouTube followings, right? So does Gray F, right? Nick Merck, same thing, right? That's just without exception, all these people have massive, massive, massive YouTube followings. So people that are successfully growing on Twitch are growing on YouTube at the same time, and they're also syndicating to TikTok, and they're also syndicating across platforms. They're not restreaming yet because they don't need to, but we're also talking about like 50 influencers who already make millions of dollars and don't need to like worry about like growing and diversifying their brands or as much. They probably should worry about it, but you know, XQC should be worried about paying his electric bill first, right? Like this guy has other concerns. Moving on. Okay. So Facebook gaming is super cool. I think Meta has a really good future. And I think that that future is supported by Facebook gaming a lot more than that live future, that future is supported on YouTube, right? That could change, right? So YouTube in the next couple of months could, we could get a person who's like a visionary for and lead YouTube Live into the promised land. I don't know. It would be kind of cool to see. So, okay, moving on. We can talk a little bit about games that are succeeding. I just think this is not really relevant to the video, so I'm not going to go spend too long on this because this is a video about like live streaming platforms. But it is interesting that Grand Theft Auto is so successful on Twitch. Like the role playing community is so successful on Twitch. I just want to do a quick shout out to Web3 that I think that the success of Grand Theft Auto really speaks to like the power of a like an open world game that can drive people to like live in it and sort of experience it like they would real life and role play in it and stuff like that. Like most of the Grand Theft Auto success here on Twitch is not from actually playing that game. It's from like this other world where people role play in it and they like build characters and stuff. And people love watching that, and they love watching the story arcs, and they love like watching the characters, even though I think most of it just devolves into cops versus robbers most of the time. But regardless of that, it's my own personal opinion why I don't watch a lot of GTA 5. There's still some phenomenal streamers in it. This has grown a ton of broadcasters. League of Legends is still just like insane. Like, League of Legends is crazy. Minecraft, it's always surprised me that it doesn't have more of like a following on Twitch and Facebook gaming. You see, like, in Facebook gaming actually has a lot of it's mobile dominated. Like, look at PUBG Mobile here, right? There's a lot of mobile games on Facebook. If you're playing mobile games, like, oh my god, you should be on Facebook. Like Clash Royale, PUBG. Do people still play Clash Royale? I don't know. I play it. I think I'm the only one that plays it. So the Grand Theft Auto thing is pretty interesting. And I think speaks to once Web3 figures out how to make a world like that, and they will figure it out, like, that'll be really interesting implications for that. But enough about that. I've got enough negative comments about my talking about Web3. I'm done talking about that for a while, okay? So one of mobile stuff on Facebook. You see Mobile Legends, Bang Bang is also on Facebook here. So a lot of stuff like that. So is Garena, right? They just dominate mobile. And that's where you want to be if you are doing anything in mobile. If you're advertising in mobile, I'd also be on Facebook. I think Twitch has historically not been great for advertising mobile stuff. It just doesn't seem like the users like stick, but games are still like the place to be. If you're advertising games, like, the still place to be is on Twitch. You make or break games on Twitch. It happens all the time. Recently, there was a game called Vampire Survivors. It was like a fantastic little game on Steam. It's like $2, $3. It's completely propelled by Twitch. And it still amazes me Twitch's ability to do this when like broadcasters agree on like a meta. And it's weird how they do it, but like broadcasters across Twitch will just agree on like a meta. They'll just be like, now we're playing this game. Everybody plays this game. And it's funny too, because like a lot of small broadcasters, like, so 93% of broadcasters on Twitch are micro influencers, right? Like people below 100 viewers, and they all decide to jump on that game too. Like, discovery is hopeless, right, compared to these larger broadcasters. And even if you're in like the 1,000 to 5,000 viewership range, you won't grow like on like Lost Ark's launch day, for example, by like streaming Lost Ark, or like grow on what else has come out recently? Path of Exile, like Siege of the Atlas, whatever. If you're smaller, right? Like, you'd be better served like creating a alternate gaming content when everybody's playing that, so somebody else that doesn't want to watch that has somebody else to watch, or just, you know, making a video on YouTube. Okay, anyway, so cool. That's a little bit about gaming and just kind of speaking out to the platforms there. Top Streamers of the Year, whatever. Cool. Just people that are building YouTubes. Yeah, you should too. And then content creator networks are always interesting. We're seeing esports teams are declining as in popularity and viewership, which is something that I predicted a long time ago, and I've made a lot of videos about. Esports success in esports as an organization is basically synonymous with content creation networks these days. People that are the most successful and have the highest viewers watched are universally focused on live streaming and video creation. So FaZe Clan, Luminosity has that insane viewership because they technically run XQC and a few others. But you look at all of these, like look at it, like OTK, which is exclusively a content creation network, right? Has an unbelievable amount of viewership as a content creator network. FaZe Clan, same thing. And then 100 Thieves. The way this chart is set up, this is not a totality of these organizations, in the sense that like this is just like showing individual influencers to them. So like actually like 100 Thieves and OTK and FaZe Clan have like way bigger footprints than this. And they're insane, compared to these other teams. But even like Team Solomid, they're just being like propped up by Buddha, right? Like 20% like that contract of their live hours is that. But even still, like I would argue that like Buddha is not directly improving TSM as a brand just by sitting on their network and live streaming there. Whereas like 100 Thieves and like FaZe Clan and OTK have done a lot better job of like Asmongold and like Mizkif, like some of the big creators on Twitch, they've done a really good job of like integrating something like OTK. And so like people see that as like that content creator network as synonymous with them. Same with like 100 Thieves, where like Valkyrie and like Courage, they've been really, really great about like integrating 100 Thieves. And so we see those platforms and their brands, those brands as platforms, And that's why they, I think they do so well in terms of like apparel and like monetization and stuff like that. When it comes down to it, like FaZe Clan's like reportedly like a $1 billion company now or something. Like, geez, okay. So like that comes from that that brand presence that they have that I think esports teams are sort of failing to capture. That's another video probably that I think if you're interested in, leave a comment and I'll cover that. A lot of this rest of this Stream Hatchet report was dedicated to the gaming gender gap and if women are fairly represented across gaming media. Spoiler, they're not. I have covered this topic in depth in even recent videos. You can look at the truth about women in esports. You can also look at my article that I wrote, Why Are We Not Seeing More Competitive Top Females in Gaming? And I talk about that. You can go to this article, which I will link in the description down below if I remember to do it, but or you could just go and Google this. And I talk about this a lot. So I'm not going to cover it in this video, actually. Suffice to say that this is still a huge problem for gaming. I think probably the number one problem for gaming. We can't seem to integrate females into the gaming ecosystem in a way that makes them able to succeed at the same level that males do. And this is a cultural problem, a massive cultural problem. It's one that really frustrates me and one I try to, like, for whatever I can do, try to put work into, but ultimately just comes down to the gaming environment just isn't a great place for women to be most of the time. Being a female influencer is a hellscape of objectifying comments and constant harassment. And the people that have succeeded have done so at great difficulty and are just like pounding the pavement in terms of like getting past the harassment and the difficulty and all the barriers to get to these levels of success. Universally, every one of these content creators has like worked twice as hard as anyone else and is putting in insane amount of hours, diversifying perfectly and building their businesses with like without exception to be as optimized as possible. So, I think that's all I'm going to say about it. It's an extremely important topic, and I encourage you all to go to the Stream Hatchet report and actually like pay attention to this. Also go check out my other videos on this. You can just Google you can just YouTube like Devin Nash, like women in gaming, women in esports. I cover a lot of these videos. We have a good interview with Amarath actually that talks about a lot of the problems. It's still a huge problem. Yeah. And it's only going to get fixed by awareness and people realizing that, like, the prevailing opinion of people is that, like, it's much easier to grow as a woman on any platform, or it's just much like they get more followers faster, they get more subscribers. Like, none of this is true. I have tons of studies and I break the whole thing down. So go see that if you're interested in that. And actually, go see it no matter what, because even if you're not interested in it, you should know about it. Okay, so let's talk about streamer monetization across all kinds of platforms. Like, how do streamers make money? How do these platforms make money? Who's this? That's a familiar face. Devin Nash, Chief Marketing Officer of Nova. Does this guy look like a guy that knows his stuff? What do you think? I don't know. I don't know about this guy. I don't know if I trust that face, okay? The gaming economy is mirroring the broader influencer marketing trend. 1% of influencers generate a disproportionate amount of revenue. What's that mean? It means that everybody at the top makes a lot of money and nobody at the bottom does, right? So this guy says, out of 10,000 people that click the start streaming button, 5 of them will make minimum wage. We see 5,000 to 25,000 viewer streams generating over 70% of Twitch's revenue, but they represent less than 0.001% of Twitch's total streams. It is more difficult to become a broadcaster than ever before, and I can't stress to you how true that is. That if you are going, listen up, if you're a content creator, time, listen up. If you are going to start a live stream on Twitch and you do not consistently upload YouTube videos, consistently post to other platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, optimize your discovery on other platforms. If all you do is sit there and stream for 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day, 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 25 hours a day, I do not care how much you do that, you will fail. Straight up. Okay? Send me an email. If you are a person who has grown on Twitch exclusively and you've never done it anywhere else, and you haven't gotten some crazy advantage like getting hosted or whatever, let me know. I've never found anybody that's done it. Every time I always look into it, I get tons of these messages, and nobody ever does it successfully. There's always something, right? But just growing on Twitch, it's not a thing. You're not going to get discovered. It sounds really cool because mega-tier influencers like these people in this like 25,000 viewership range make an average of $841K a year. I'd love to make $841K a year. That's a lot of money. I'd have to pay a lot of taxes. That'd be really stressful. But other than that, it'd be kind of cool, right? But that only represents 50 people, right? Currently, only 50 influencers are able to reach this level of income. So And on average, it takes them 5 years to do it, right? So you could spend 5 years doing a lot of stuff. You know, you could spend 5 years becoming the best basket weaver, and maybe you'd probably make that kind of that kind of money. So, or maybe not. Actually, influencers get paid in exorbitant amounts compared to people that work the same amount of time. That's kind of a stupid statement. But what isn't echoed in this chart is the likelihood of you doing that. The likelihood of you actually getting to this level of success is infinitesimal, right? I'm saying out of 10,000 people that click the start streaming button, 5 of them will make minimum wage. So how many of those people will become a mega influencer, right? So just look at the stats, right? There's 50 influencers that are making that kind of money. So how many people on Twitch overall? Well, just over the past 30 days, there was 26,592,405 streams, right? 26 million. And 50 of those people are making that kind of income. So like people have these dreams of being like a celebrity, being this famous Twitch influencer, whatever. You're not going to get there on Twitch. You're not going to get there anywhere. You're going to get there only by consistently building a brand across multiple platforms. That is why diversification and syndication is so important. Every single content creator and every single brand should have a multi-tiered campaign across YouTube, across Twitch, across TikTok, everywhere. They should be everywhere they can be. You can maximize, you just have infinite amounts of time. And then people are like, well, Devin, how do I get all that time? Because I'm streaming on Twitch 8 hours a day. So how do I get time to upload YouTube videos or syndicate my videos to Facebook or multi-stream? Stop streaming on Twitch, dummy, for that long. Why are you doing that? There's no return for that kind of stuff, right? You stream on Twitch for a maximum of 4 hours a day, like 4 to 6 maybe, okay? And the rest of your time, 100% of your time, should be taking that live, that sort of like that egg. Imagine that content as an egg. It's like saying egg. And that egg, okay? We're going to say egg as many times as we can until people turn off the video. That egg becomes the stuff that you use. It hatches, and all that content goes to their places, because the live streaming content that you use can be used for highlights. It can be used to go to YouTube. It can be used to post shorts on YouTube. It can be or TikTok or wherever places people actually find you. Okay. So very, very few macro influencers, micro influencers. We're always going to see this. The live streaming industry, just like the celebrity industry and the entertainment industry in general, is always going to be dominated by a few people. And you are not likely to become one of those people. If you don't have to become one of those people, though, right? Like, you can be, I don't know, what do you want, 100K, 200K a year, 300K a year? And you could have like a decent sort of mid-sized, small-sized following. You could branch out into something that's like educational, and then you could get like a newsletter. One of the things I want to talk about too, about like Twitch, right? And that what people aren't talking about, but nobody's talking about, is like the splits are crazy on Twitch, right? So, I mean, Twitch takes 50% of your income. That's nuts. I have a video called Twitch is a Pimp. It's one of my favorite videos. It's not one of my most watched videos, but I think it's great. And it just breaks down by percentage what each platform takes out of like subscriber revenue, advertising revenue, etc. I have a video going to come out soon about Twitch ads. That's going to be a big thing, okay? Because like I don't think anybody understands the real percentages taken out of Twitch ads. They better send like the Amazon special forces to like black bag me before I make that video, because oh my god, I'm gonna expose some stuff. So Twitch, yeah, I mean, the splits are really bad. So I mean, if you're gonna build a live stream, don't live there, right? Like, don't live on Twitch. That's the end of this report. So we're gonna talk about some other cool stuff. So Twitch, actually, yeah, that's a good segue into the overview, because I was just about to talk about like don't live on Twitch. Twitch is the biggest live gaming platform, and a good place to host a live gaming platform is a horrible place to live. It's a bad house. It's a bad country to live in, per se, right? It's a great place to run a stream, but I would drive every one of my users / subscribers off of Twitch and onto a platform like Patreon, where I make 92% of the income versus 50% of the income. And I can also understand that user better, right? So on Twitch, when I get a subscriber, YoloSwaggins XX69 has subscribed to the stream, and that is the extent that I know about that user. But if YoloSwaggins subscribed to my Patreon, well, I know their full name, I know their email, I can get direct contact to them through messaging, I can provide them tons of benefits that I couldn't provide anywhere else on Twitch, because I can get them into like webinars and like email lists and all kinds of cool stuff. So Twitch is a bad place to have your user base live. For that reason, many of Twitch's influencers, their user base actually lives on Discord. And that's, I'm also a part of that crowd. I love Discord as a place to center my kind of community. And that's why earlier in this video, I talked about you want to think about where you want to live, right? And the truth is, like, if you can live in three places at once, you can do three times the work, which is why I like multi-streaming so much. So I love the idea of starting a broadcast, a live broadcast on Facebook Gaming, multi-streaming to Twitch and YouTube, because why the hell not? And then the big one I want to talk about right now, and I'm going to make a separate video about this, but we're going to talk a little bit about TikTok Live, okay? TikTok Live is a big secret. Don't tell anybody, but it's freaking crazy in terms of the amount of viewers that it has. It has superseded Twitch already. Twitch's entire IRL section, which they've been building for like 5 years, in terms of viewership, pales in comparison to TikTok Live. TikTok Live is nuts, right? Basically came around like a month ago, and overnight there is just some insane stuff going on there. The craziest of which is like building small businesses on TikTok Live. So TikTok has some really wild stats. Here are some really wild stats. 90% of the people that install TikTok, they use it every day. 90% of the people that ever put it on their phone use it every day for 53 minutes. That's an insane amount of time to use a platform. So TikTok Live is super, super powerful. TikTok in general is super, super powerful. People need to be paying attention to this. You can also multi-stream from TikTok Live to Facebook Gaming to YouTube to Twitch. Just be everywhere. Why not, right? So Twitch, great. YouTube, great for events. And Facebook Gaming, probably the best place to grow as a platform, but why not stream on all of them and advertise on all of them? Because you can do that. And a quick note on, actually, before we do that note, you know what? It's 36 minutes into the video. It's time for the secret call. Are you still watching this? Are you still listening to this? If you are, post a comment that you have gotten this far and that you've made it to the 36-minute mark. And hello. Thank you. You might want to support me. If you do, go to Patreon. Patreon.com/DevinNash, which is the top link of this video. And for $5 a month, what $5, what value, you will get more videos about me talking about business subjects. You can also subscribe even more money, and you can actually get my meta marketing report, which is like a weekly thing I do every week, which where I talk about trends. And that's a cool thing. So there's lots of benefits. You get like a Discord, you get like lots of videos and things like that. There's like over 40 or 50 videos on there. Like I really update it, like at least one video a week that I talk about things, business topics and stuff like that. So check out the Patreon. Otherwise, just subscribe and like this video. It helps me a lot. And thanks. You know, I kind of just do this as sort of a side thing because I run this like, you know, creative agency. But I love doing this. I love talking to you guys. So thanks for supporting me. Okay. So let's do some kind of talk about misconceptions of the marketing world. Like one of the things that I notice when I talk to a lot of people is just how behind the vast majority of people are in terms of their conception about what is popular and where. They're usually thinking in like 3 or 4 years back. So like, let's use an example that I'm sure everybody knows. Facebook is a platform for old people, right? Right? Facebook's a platform for old people. Everybody knows that, right? So like Facebook, like, yeah, it's just like my grandma uses it. Like who would use Facebook? Like, well, did you know that like 32% of Facebook is 25 to 34, largest group? And then 23.5%, next largest, is 18 to 24. So fully one in two people that use Facebook today are young people. What percentage do you think is actually old people over the age of 65? Take a guess, because I'm going to tell you what it is. It's 4.7% is over 65. Almost nobody old uses Facebook, right? It's mostly young people. So this is like an example of something that like when you're listening to like this is one of the reasons why I love creating this kind of stuff, because I love talking about this stuff. There are so many conceptions and misconceptions that people have based on like what they hear that and then when you actually look at it, it's not the case. So like I've had so many content creators and so many brands tell me, oh, I don't want to market on Facebook because it's all old people. I'm like, no, it's not. It isn't that at all. It's a huge amount of young people that are using the platform. How about this, right? TikTok is a platform for young people, right? Uh-oh. 48% of adults in the U.S. are 18 to 29 that use TikTok, right? 20% of adults are 30 to 49. So TikTok is not a platform for young people. TikTok has 2 billion users, right? So you might be saying, I'm not going to create content, or I'm not going to put my brand or my business on TikTok because it's just a bunch of people that are under the age of 18, right? Okay, so that might have been true when the platform was Musical.ly 2 years ago, and I talked about that. If you actually go back to a lot of my old videos, I'm like, yeah, I'm not looking at TikTok right now as a marketer, as an agency, because a lot of the people are young and they don't stick. They don't buy stuff, I think, right? And you might have heard me say that. Nowadays, people buy stuff, and TikTok just like as a like breaking news made a 10-minute video feature where now you can upload videos to TikTok that are longer than the 3-minute one they had before. So now it's 10 minutes. That's a long time. And I think TikTok is to be a serious contender for YouTube, and they've got the user base to do it. So it's not true anymore that like you can't build a business on TikTok. It's happening on TikTok Live like crazy. Go over to TikTok Live just as a fun experiment. Well, we could do this in like a future video or something, because like this has already been gone on a really long time. Just go on a TikTok Live and like just go check out like all the businesses that are being built there. There's people that are packaging stuff in real time and they're sending it out to people. It's amazing. Like businesses are getting built overnight. Things are changing, right? So just be careful with your misconceptions that like maybe you're making a decision based on like statistics. Like people make career decisions, like spend millions of dollars, millions of brand dollars get spent, and entire careers get attempted just because of a conception like Twitch is the best place to be because it's the largest amount of people live streaming. But that's just wrong. But for most people, Twitch is not a good place to stream. Like the only people that I would say is a pretty good place to stream is like if you're going to build a consistent gaming brand that's going to be supported on other channels, then Twitch is still great. And Twitch has a lot of features that support a very healthy community. One of the things I've always loved about Twitch is that Twitch builds healthy communities. Twitch is amazing for community building, right? And amazing for that sort of direct interaction. It's probably too amazing. There's a lot of like parasocial stuff that comes out of it and is a big problem, but it's very good at it. So it's better than YouTube, it's better than Facebook, it's better than anywhere, right? But is not a really great place to build a brand. So you have to be careful with your conceptions and misconceptions. Things you got to listen to good information, look at the real stats. Hopefully, that's why you watch these videos. And that I think is where I'm going to end it. I think that is a phenomenal place to end. The live streaming market is super exciting in 2022. Overall, I think we're going to still see Twitch doing great, growing in the gaming space, mostly in the Latin America and second, third world stuff, which is great. Fantastic bringing users in there, alternate language people. YouTube is going to be great for events. It's going to slow its growth. And really, the future of YouTube is yet to be seen. I think when YouTube, if it gets a good leader for YouTube gaming, good stuff. If not, it could just kind of be one of YouTube's like sort of like forgotten projects, like Google Plus, right? That would suck, but we'll see. It'll still be around, but it's just not going to go anywhere. It depends on who leads it. Executive leadership in streaming is so important. Probably important everywhere. Facebook gaming, I think we're going to still see, is going to be fantastic. Meta still really believes in the product. They have every reason to drive people to it. They're not as focused on shorts content as YouTube is, and I think they're going to be great. TikTok Live is single-handedly the best place to build a business right now. Like, that's just the end. Like, it's so powerful. Any product-based business is so good. So I think TikTok Live is going to dominate the IRL non-gaming space. It is going to take over Twitch for that. And the amount of people using TikTok Live to do like IRL stuff, from throwing balls in cups for 20,000 viewers that I saw yesterday to like flying airplanes live that I saw the other day too, it's going to be way, way more than Twitch will ever be. That this is just natively, right? Alternate gaming platforms. A quick shout out to those. They're just going nowhere. there's no other platform right now. A few that are attempting it, but none that like have really developed or have the user base to like to really succeed yet that are worth covering in this video. But I will be paying attention, and if I see one, I will point it out. Okay, thank you. Follow the stream. God, that's an old take, right? That's like all the way back from 2012. Still live stream. Follow the YouTube guys and girls. Subscribe if you like this stuff. If you really like it, go to Patreon and support me, but you do not need to. I will always make these videos for free and continue to do this. Thank you so much for your support, and I really appreciate it. Come to my Discord too. Come chat with me. Say hello. discord.gg/Devin. Okay, that's it. That's the end of the video. Bye. See you next time.